Grandstand Digital. ABC Grandstand.
The game's final play is a Wilson loft to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown! One guy goes up, touchdown. The other said no time. Has to be looked at because it's a score.
Major play. It's under review.
You can't go to replay to determine who called the ball. So that call has to be made on the field. You see the one guy go up, touchdown, and the other go timeout like it's a pick.
How does MD Jennings not get credit for the interception? I have no idea.
This is deciding who wins the game on this call.
Further ado, the call on the field stands. Touchdown.
Seahawks win in the most bizarre finish you'll ever see.
Oh, mama, what a mess. The NFL on Monday, the Seahawks and the Packers, replacement refs who didn't know what the hell was going on, and what had always threatened to happen, happened. The amateurs got it wrong, and all hell broke loose, particularly for the players, who then hit Twitter and hit it hard. Sean Callanan is our digital sports guru, talks sport in the digital space each week with us here on Grandstand Breakfast. And Sean, this was like NFL Armageddon online.
It was. It was not only was the events of the game terrible for the NFL, you know, with the replacement refs, it was, you know, a perfect storm, but it was also a perfect storm online. First of all, just, you know, we think the replacement refs had a bad day. The NFL media, social media team also put in a shocker that day.
Did they? What sort of things did they get wrong?
Well, just after that play, they decided to, you know, one thing, great things about Twitter, and we love Twitter, is about stimulating discussion. But when there is something controversial, you sort of want to be careful how much discussion you stimulate. And so they tweeted, oh, Green Bay, Seattle, touchdown or interception, what do you think? And obviously everyone was already telling the world what they thought. From a fan point of view, and I'm a Packers fan, so my timeline was filled with angry Packers fans. So initially, you know, there was a lot of response back to the NFL going, are you...
Well, now that you've asked...
Yeah, now you've asked, we'll definitely tell you our opinion. And then what they unfortunately did was they deleted the tweet, which only inflamed and started the conspiracy theorists, which, you know, which love...
Because rule number one, you might delete the tweet for you, but once it's out there and it's been retweeted, it is gone.
Well, if
G-O-R-N gone, isn't
if
it?
If it's been retweeted in the fashion of using the retweet button, it actually does sort of go.
Okay.
But if more than likely people, and like I would have gone...
Commented on it.
Yeah, done the retweet reply, which is putting it out there and then putting a little message in front and saying...
Like, go and get it.
Yeah, exactly. So so they copped a little bit of flack for doing that. Then on Facebook, they put up a post saying, oh, you know, Seahawks win with a controversial touchdown. And the picture they used was from the first half, not the final touchdown, which was controversial. And so, again, it sort of made it look like that was a regulation touchdown. Just a little bit misleading. And, again, so they edited the comment three or four times, which, of course, was screen captured by everybody and picked up by Mashable and all the sites, which is it's just an easy target. So, you know, the main thing is from a running the team point of view, you've got to be careful of what you push out, especially if it is slightly controversial. You want to play the company line and, you know, keep your head down. You're going to get your wax, but you want to make sure you don't give them any more ammunition. And that's the thing they did. But
well, a steep learning curve for them to try to manage a situation that had already, like a bushfire that was already out of control.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, it's a classic. You don't want to put more, you know, gasoline on the fire.
So
and
your best is just to shut up.
The best is to not give them any ammunition and, you know, have any comment on it. And that would be, you know, that's pretty much your media management 101. Go back. If there's a big controversy, well, the less stuff you give the media and the general public, the better off you'll be. So, you know, from the NFL point of view, they should have just gone and just almost just let it be, because the fans were already pretty riled up, and then the players got to the locker room and got to their phones,
and that's when it really
got
interesting.
It really went berserk. So
now, so give us a sense of what was being said and tweeted by the players. Obviously, this has been building up for those who haven't been following it. The refs up until last night had been on strike over a dispute regarding their pension plan.
It was a lockout.
A lockout.
I mean, you know, they're following the lead of the NBA.
You're right. They've been locked out because they've been in dispute about their pension plan and how much money they should be entitled to. Well, their superannuation, really.
Yeah. So it was effectively a pay dispute.
They got these guys in who weren't even college refs because the college refs are busy doing the college footy. They got the local park.
The guys who are doing high school or, you know, they're accountants and, you know, consultants who had regular jobs and then they had to put on the black and white stripe top and go out and do the NFL. And, you know, you think as a fan, I will know all the rules, but then you have, you know, controversy like this, the simultaneous catch rule and what it's meant to be. You know, I don't think it was a simultaneous catch myself, but, you know, all these different variances. And so they have been copying it more and more from the fans and occasionally from the players have had a little bit of a dip at the refs. Even the coaches, Bill Belichick.
Well, they try to intimidate them.
Yeah, he actually grabbed and reached out and grabbed a referee, he left the field the other day. So, you know, some stuff that you just don't do, but that's the level of frustration, I guess, in the NFL. And so this was just the crescendo of it. And so the first controversy was a Packer lineman, TJ Lang, got on Twitter and pretty much said, and I'll clean it up for radio, thanks NFL, you've screwed us on that one. And, you know, used the F-bomb in that one. And then he said, you know, again, using the F-bomb, I don't care. Find me, give the money to the real refs. And, you know, and he pretty much just said what most of fans were thinking. And so TJ Lang is, you know, until, you know, last week, most NFL fans probably didn't know who he was. He had 26,000 odd Twitter followers. And those two tweets went completely viral. The second one about find me anyway and give the money to the refs has been retweeted 95,000 times. So
in the 1 week.
That was almost in a 24-hour period. So, you know, he woke up the next morning with another 90,000 followers. Good on him. He did tweet his regret for swearing, but he didn't regret what he actually said. You know, but it did get a little bit out of hand then. The Packers sort of went with the grade six mentality. If we're all in trouble, the teachers can't suspend us all. And they all pretty much chipped in on it, whether they were saying it was a joke. Clay Matthews went a little bit too far, posting Roger Goodell's direct phone number on Facebook.
Oh, that's outrageous.
The NFL the next morning woke up to 70,000 voicemails at the NFL head office. So, you know, that was just a little bit, it's an hilarious story, but it's highly irresponsible, you know, and that's something, you know, you want to have your voice and let the fans vent, you know, and the players were obviously, you know, really upset. But yeah, that's going a bit too far.
Has there been any blowback from NFL HQ about this?
Well, that's the thing at the moment. At the moment, the NFL, hasn't fined, and unless I'm correct in that they've sent something through, but you know, you would expect to, you know, normally it would be a fine, but they haven't done that as yet. And you know, and the fact that over the next 4 days they did come to an agreement with the referees and they will be on the field this week, I believe. You know, and they're trying to say, oh, it wasn't because of the controversy, we got them all back, but it certainly looks like that. But there is a tendency if the NFL doesn't at least say you can't do that and put out some kind of fine, it does become a bit the inmates running the asylum. You know, you really have to, you know, we've seen the AFL and the NRL, you know, crack down on, you can't talk about our umpires. You know, it is important because if they can always be slamming them again, why would someone want to put on a black and white shirt and do the ref in the NFL?
Sean Callanan, our digital sports guru, is with us from Sports Geek HQ. Sean, AFL Grand Final Day, it's becoming a huge social media event, and
yep,
people love to comment and enjoy the game while they're tweeting or on Facebook or, you know, maybe even Instagram and sending in photos from their parties and that sort of stuff. What's your favourite and preferred option today? And do we do it? Settling on hashtags. Do people settle on a hashtag?
Yeah.
AFL will try to give you an official hashtag.
So
that doesn't always suit people. They tend to go their own way.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the club versus league sort of concept. And so, you know, some of the clubs really identify with the club hashtag to get the fans to rally around it. Not so much, you know, Hawthorn and Swans haven't really driven, you know, they run always Hawthorn and occasionally go Swans. But definitely in the NRL, both the Bulldogs and the Storm, you know, they'll be running Purple Pride and Dogs of War. They're the ones that they've been. But the AFL and NRL are both pretty much gone with AFLGF and NRLGF, which it just makes sense.
Uses less characters too.
Uses less characters. We don't have to go with the marketing slogan of greatness or bring the noise and all that kind of stuff. It just fits. And again, this is a game where you do want to tap into that casual fan and make it easy for everyone. you know, to be tweeting and having their say, because effectively Twitter does become, you know, your, the second commentary special comments guy, and everyone can have their little say. So a lot of people will be looking at their timeline, potentially following a hashtag to see what the updates are. You know, there'll be budding comedians out there trying to put in, you know, a joke every now and again, it'll get retweeted. People try to claim early Norm Smith calculations by saying, oh, I predicted this and here's my retweet from 4 days ago, that kind of thing. I think but it's a different game to cover from the team's point of view, because normally when you're covering a game, you're giving a few score updates and you're telling people what's happening, but everyone's going to be watching this. So it becomes, well, let's see what we can do from a exclusivity point of view, whether it is, you know, catching Instagram a few shots, you know, from the rooms and those kind of things, and maybe also amplifying the fans that are having parties or turning up to the game. It's good to see that at least in Melbourne that Telstra's bumped up the towers around the MCG to hopefully boost it. I hope it's not a temporary measure. I hope it does stay there permanently. Who knows? So at least fans will be able to, you know, check in. So we might see a little bit more checking in and a little bit more fan tweets from the ground, which would be great. I think Twitter will be the main one. And you pretty much, if you do want to know, you know, what's happening in the game, you're not at a game, you could watch Twitter, but you could also be watching the trends. You know, one of the things the AFL is currently toying with is the Twilight Grand Final. Now, if they push the AFL Grand Final to Twilight, they would pretty much ensure they would be trending worldwide. Last year, we saw the NRL trending worldwide again because the US finally goes to sleep when the nighttime kicks in Australia. So last year, Manly, George Rose was trending worldwide when he put a sneaky little punch in during the Grand Final.
Meatloaf would have been trending worldwide last year, regardless of the fact that it was in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that is true. Maybe you might be able to use, and I don't know if the betting agencies will be keeping an eye on it, but maybe you'll be able to predict the Norm Smith medal via Twitter and the trends, just by the volume of tweets people talking about it. You know, you might be able to do some kind of prediction there.
It's always great fun, and it does become a collective experience via Twitter because people can share their ideas and their jokes and their observations together while the game's going on.
Yeah,
unless
definitely.
You're seriously bought in as a fan and member of the participating clubs, I think you're entitled to enjoy a grand final day as a neutral like that.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the thing. Yeah.
As long as you don't annoy someone who is emotionally involved in the game by trying to sneak in a silly gag at a time when they're a goal down with 5 minutes to play.
There definitely will be trolling of other AFL and NRL fans if they can see a chance to stick the boots into a mate.
We are nasty types, aren't we?
Yes, but there will be. And that will hopefully everyone keeps it in a playful mood and has a bit of fun with it, but there definitely will be a little bit of that. I'm sure there'll be Carlton and Collingwood fans having a chip in just because they're not there and they're jealous, and that's the thing. Jealousy is a curse.
Indeed it is. Where can we find you online today and through next week as well?
Sportsgeek.com.au and Sean Callanan on Twitter and Sportsgeek on Twitter.
Have a great grand final day, Sean.
Yeah, you too.
Sean Callanan, digital sports guru, with us here on Grandstand Breakfast, as he is every Saturday morning, talking about sport in the digital world.